From St. Pete to Brandon,
this is AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris,
where Tampa Bay begins their morning.
And a good morning to you. It is Webb's Day, the peak of the week, with Jack and, of course, Dana McKay and James Berlander all together with you. And if you want to join us, give us a call at 800-969-9352, or you can text us at 82945. Just start your text with the call letters WFLA, or you can go to your iHeart app and go to the News Radio WFLA and push on the microphone button there and record up to 30 seconds. And as you'll hear a little later, we need jokes.
Yes, we do.
We already have a joke this morning.
We have one?
Yeah. Well, I'm the joke this morning. I broke the toilet here.
Yeah, you're the joke of the day. I mean, for sure.
It's not broken. It's just it's stuck in a constant flush. So we have these automatic toilets here at the Feather Sound Studios, and it's in a constant flush. It's not overflowing, but it's just flushing and flushing and flushing and flushing.
It's still. How long has this been going on for?
I'm
going
to say about 20 minutes now.
That sounds like a poker game, a royal flush.
Yeah,
so did you put the video? I said this is great content for social media.
I'm going to have to send you the video. I called the big boss, and he's going to let people know. But, yeah.
And I don't know if I'm going to have birthdays today because I was told to get a new phone yesterday, and I can't bring the birthdays up on it.
Oh, yeah, no. You can't get into Facebook yet? Yeah, we're working on it. And then he's got his old phone, but I'm trying to get it connected to Wi-Fi so that he can actually access Facebook that way, and that's not working. So we're a hot mess over here today.
The funny thing is, at home earlier when I was having orange juice before I came over here, I had all the birthdays out, and there are, I think we had either 6 or 8 of them. That I had.
Did you have them up on your old phone or your new phone?
On the old phone.
Okay. So the reason you can't get them on here is because you're not connected to the Wi-Fi in the new building yet. I'm working on that for you.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have the birthdays here in the next hour. And in case you missed it last night, the Lightning beat Carolina 4-0.
Oh, nice.
Carolina had a much better record than the Bolts did, but they blanked them 4-0 over there. The Hurricanes, and they will host the Washington Capitals tomorrow night. Tomorrow's going to be a big day around here. You got the Bolts and Caps, Lightning and Capitals, and the Major League Baseball season starts tomorrow with the Rays hosting the Detroit Tigers.
Yes, opening day at the Trop.
Yep. And then, of course, we got the Final Four in the NCAA coming up this weekend with 2 Florida schools in it.
Well, that's exciting.
That's amazing.
Well, you know what's crazy is that Rick Scott had both of those teams in his Final Four, like on his bracket. And he has actually those 2 teams, the 2 Florida teams, winning.
Really?
So, yep.
Son of a gun.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Nobody would have picked that.
Yeah, I know, but I think because Florida, he just decided to pick those 2 Florida teams.
Wow.
That'd be pretty amazing, right, if he won it? Because he needs indeed more money.
I think he's doing okay. We got Rory O'Neill will be joining us later this hour, and we're going to get the latest on the Nashville school shooting investigation, and hopefully they're getting a little closer to finding a motive.
Yeah, there was a manifesto, so that right there tells you what was going on in this person's sick mind. Whether or not we have all those details yet, I don't know. We'll see what Rory has to say.
Yeah, and also later on, we've got Daniel James Scott, our tech expert, that's going to join us. And he's going to talk about, did wokeness and cancel culture start with teens on the internet?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what he has to say about this.
Yes, indeed. And if you have any tech questions, you want to call James and give them to him, and he'll give them to Daniel, and we'll get them answered for you a little later on this morning.
Yeah, how do you stop a toilet flushing?
That sounds like a joke.
By the way, I put the video on our Instagram at WFLA News. I think it just has to be accepted real quickly, Dana.
Okay.
But, yeah, the video is up, and I'll take any advice possible, please.
Yeah. Anybody knows anything about toilets besides how to sit on them, give us a call. We need the help.
So embarrassing.
It's 5:10. Chris Trinkman coming up here in a minute. And right now we're going to check in with John Thomas in traffic.
Ripping through the biggest news stories of the day in record time, providing you all you need to know. This is AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris.
And at 5:15, we've got Chris Trinkman, who knows what we need to know this morning out of the newsroom. And good morning, Chris. What's happening?
Whoops. Got to get to still figuring
hey,
out.
I started out this morning without a microphone.
Yeah, me too. So clues in a Pinellas County murder case could be found as far south as Miami. The plastic surgeon Tomas Kozowski accused of killing Largo lawyer Stephen Causey last week. And investigators say Kozowski's car was outside the law firm in Largo the day Causey went missing. And license plate readers now show that his car was also in the Miami area hours later. The body of 41-year-old Causey not been found, and the 44-year-old plastic surgeon is in the Pinellas County Jail, charged with first-degree murder.
A plastic surgeon. Wonder what that's all about.
Well, he was being sued because of a billing dispute at the clinic where he used to work, along with several other professionals there. And Causey was handling that case, and apparently Kozowski became upset about it. And at one point may have had a confrontation with Causey, according to his boss. And so when his boss stumbled on what appears to be a murder scene in a bathroom there at the law firm, he informed police that the only person he could think of that might have had a problem with Causey was this plastic surgeon. And so they started paying close attention and eventually made an arrest on Sunday. They've also found a bunch of stuff in Kozowski's car. They found $290,000 in cash.
Wow.
Bunch of guns. A license plate concealer device. That sounds like something out of a Bond movie, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I've never heard of a license plate concealer unless you just put a cover over it or
yeah,
something like that.
And then he had some surgical masks and other items that perhaps could have been used to clean a murder scene.
Mm.
So that's all part of the evidence now that's building against the surgeon.
It'll be interesting to see what they give him as punishment.
Well, he's been charged with first-degree murder, Jack, and depending upon what kind of case they build against him, that means he could be eligible for the death penalty if they think that they have enough on the guy. They haven't found a body yet, and so that complicates the case for prosecutors. But they think they have enough evidence based on what they found so far to charge him with murder, despite the fact that Causey is still missing.
And you got to think at some point they're going to find the body.
Yeah, I think that they will. What a sad story.
Yeah, and it might be in the Miami area because obviously speculation is why would he go down there shortly after Causey disappeared.
Yeah.
So Florida's largest insurer is raising its rates. Citizens Property Insurance announced it wants to raise the statewide average rate by at least 12%.
Oh, my gosh.
If approved, by the Florida Office of Insurance Regulation, the new rates would take effect November 1st. And so far, the insurance regulators haven't stopped any of the rate increases from any of the companies. That would include the private insurers.
And the insurance companies just kind of had a big win during the legislative session, right, where they can't be sued.
That's true. And that affects the private companies. Now, Citizens is the public company that's run by the state of Florida in a special corporation that was set up by the legislature because so many private companies refuse to insure people in the most risky areas, usually along the coast. Of course, a lot of people in Tampa Bay have Citizens because we're here on the coast. And so that means they could be looking at rate increases even higher. 12% is the average. I mean, you could be looking at 15% or more, depending on where you live. And that's tough because Florida already has the highest insurance rates in the country.
Hmm.
But Citizens claims that based on the risk and the damages and what they need to operate, they have to do that.
Brother. Keep paying those taxes.
So this week marks the 44th anniversary of the Three Mile Island nuclear accident. Federal nuclear experts say it was the most serious accident ever of a U.S. commercial nuclear power plant. A combination of equipment failure and operator error led to a partial meltdown and the release of a small amount of radioactive material. And really, Jack, the Three Mile Island meltdown has sort of become the symbol of, you know, the nuclear danger, I guess. And you think of those cooling towers, you know, that's what the Three Mile Island plant looked like. And even though a lot of nuclear plants don't look like that, that's the one that everybody thinks of in their head when they think of a nuclear plant or a nuclear accident.
All the pictures and everything.
That's right. Yeah, and it was pretty scary. And really, they look at that incident as becoming a major reason why nuclear power became so unpopular in the country, even though supporters would say it's cleaner and more efficient than some of the other ways of generating power, such as
undoubtedly,
coal.
Undoubtedly, yeah.
Right, it is, but when there's a problem, it's dangerous.
That's the thing, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, is that worth the risk? And, you know, we've had our problems. You know, we had that nuclear reactor up at Crystal River that cracked, and they were not able to fix it, you know, despite billions of dollars. So that doesn't add to people's confidence in nuclear. So today, Jack, is March 29th, and it's the 50th anniversary of the date the last combat troops left South Vietnam. And veterans groups are saying today is the day to honor those who serve. And, of course, there are a lot of lessons from that war. At one time, it was one of the longest wars we had ever been involved with, and often viewed as a failure because the communist North ended up taking over the country.
Yeah, when we left, boom.
That's right.
It was over.
Obviously, they were knocking on the door. I mean, they were right there in Saigon as we were getting people out of the embassy. And so it's communist as we speak. The same government is still in charge there after all these years. And Vietnam veterans did not get the same treatment after the war.
Oh, boy, you're telling me.
As those who served in World War II.
Yeah, I remember getting off the plane when we came back out, and it was a base in San Francisco. I mean, it wasn't a base, but it was a military landing place. And I remember going by one of these wire fences, and all these protesters were on the other side, and I got spit on about three times.
Wow. Oh, geez.
Man, not a good way to come home after a year in Vietnam.
Yeah, it really was unfortunate considering all the things that the troops went through over there. Obviously, a lot of them were exposed to toxic chemicals like Agent Orange, not to mention the brutal conditions in you know, the jungle environment there.
Oh, yeah.
And the, you know, deadly effectiveness of the guerrilla warfare that was waged by the communists. You know, 58,000 Americans died in that war. It was never popular. And unfortunately, the troops were never recognized for what they sacrificed to fight for America.
Yeah, I lost a couple of good buddies over there. And, you know, I just wanted to explain to people behind the fence, I didn't want to go over there. I didn't declare war. I just had to go over there, and you're making me pay for it.
You know, that's a great point, Jack. You know, back in those days, there was something called the draft.
Yeah.
That a lot of young people don't even know what that is. They have no idea that there was a time in the country that if the government decided they were going to go to war, they could make you go.
Yeah.
And they would send you a notice, and you had to sign up for a selective service. If you're a male, 18, when you turned 18, you have to submit your information, and they would draw you out of a hat and sign you up for military service. And the other thing that got a lot of people upset about that, Jack, of course, is it seemed like people who had money or were people of influence didn't go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you were in college, you could apply for a deferment. If you had a father who was a senator or something, somehow their kids didn't go.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
it
became a widespread thing. And it's one of the reasons why they got rid of the draft, because they felt that was not a fair way to have people serve. Now we have a volunteer army, and sometimes we don't make the best decisions, even with that situation, with some of our military exploits.
Very true. Well, Chris will have more coming up here in just a little while at the bottom of the hour.
Online at WFLANews.com. This is AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris on News Radio WFLA.
I'm wondering if our other listener happened to see the rare planetary alignment last night when, it was Jupiter, Mercury, Venus, Uranus, and Mars all visible in a small sector of the sky.
I forgot about that last night.
Yeah, supposedly just after sunset last night, if you look to the horizon in the west, you would see Jupiter and Mercury, and a little higher in the sky, Venus and Uranus and Mars were shining. But anyway, I'm wondering if anybody saw it. They're saying that in 2161, all the planets will gather on the side of the sun and will be visible from Earth just before dawn. Wonder how they know that.
Yeah, how do they know that? I mean, none of us will be around to see it, so.
And they say, what do you have planned for September 8th, 17 years from now, when a highly anticipated planetary alignment will take place with Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, all being close together with a crescent moon visible between Venus and Saturn. And again, how do they know all that stuff?
Yeah, there must be some sort of a calculation that they do based on how everything moves.
I guess so. Well, if you saw the alignment last night and want to describe it to our other listener, give us a call, 800-969-9352. Here with what's trending is Dana McKay, and what do we got this morning?
Well, this is something really cool I wanted to tell you about. Today is Jersey Mike's Day of Giving, and they've been doing this on March 29th every year for 13 years. Jersey Mike's has raised over $67 million for local charities.
Wow.
So basically, when you go to Jersey Mike's today for lunch or pick up dinner on the way home, they are going to donate 100% of the proceeds to Special Olympics. That's the charity they have chosen to give to this year. And they say it's their busiest day of the year by far because they just get so much great support from the community. So we're just trying to spread the word to go to Jersey Mike's today, and all of that money gets donated to Special Olympics.
I'll go right after work today. Their subs are delicious.
Oh, I know. They're amazing.
I've never been to Jersey Mike's.
Well, today's the day, Jack. You enjoy. Go out for lunch at Jersey Mike's.
I recommend the Italian. The Italian sub is great.
Ah. I've got to find out where Jersey Mike's is.
They're all over the place, right? James, there's locations everywhere.
Yeah, so at our old station, I used to go to the one right at Gandy and Dom Avery, right in the little plaza there.
Oh, yeah. So that's close to you. Yeah.
You know, I have seen that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but I haven't been there. Son of a gun. Wonder why they call it Jersey Mike's. Is it because of New Jersey or all the people are wearing jerseys or what?
You know, that's a really good question that I don't know the answer to.
I'll have to
find that out for you. But yeah, last year alone, they raised $20 million. So it's definitely
incredible.
Grown over time. Yeah, I mean, this is a nationwide thing that they do. But here in the Tampa Bay area, they're donating all the money to the local chapter of Special Olympics. So Jersey Mike's today. That's where you should go and get lunch or dinner.
Yeah, and I have worked with Special Olympics in the past. I mean, doing the PA system for them, and then at one time even being a referee.
Oh, awesome.
Pretty lousy at that, but
it's such a great organization, it really is. Yeah,
it's incredible, and we've got one of the best in the Bay Area.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know USF is where I worked with them originally.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I'm sure that's why Jersey Mike's chose them this year to donate all the money to. So
that is good.
Yep.
Tampa Bay with Jack Harris.
It's 5:43, and we've got Today in History for March 29th. In 1632, the Treaty of Saint-Germain is signed, returning Quebec to French control after the English had seized it in 1629. And if you've been to Quebec, while English is all over Canada, Quebec, they speak French. 1806, construction is authorized of the Great National Pike, better known as the Cumberland Road, becoming the first U.S. federal highway. 1847, in the Mexican-American War, U.S. forces led by General Winfield Scott take Veracruz after a siege. 1867, Queen Victoria gives royal assent to the British North America Act, which established Canada on July 1st. 1882, the Knights of Columbus is established, and it's still going strong, and they do a lot of great charity work. 1927, Sunbeam 1,000 horsepower breaks the land speed record at Daytona Beach, Florida, It went over 200 miles an hour. I don't know what the record was. 1941, the North American Regional Broadcasting Agreement goes into effect. And I'm not sure what that did. 1951, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg are convicted of conspiracy to commit espionage. They were working with the Russians, and they were executed in the electric chair. 1957, the New York, Ontario, and Western Railway made its final run, the first major U.S. railroad to be abandoned in its entirety. 1961, the 23rd Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is ratified, allowing residents of Washington, D.C. to vote in presidential elections. And now, of course, there's a major effort afoot to grant statehood to Washington, D.C., and the Democrats are in favor of it, and the Republicans are against it because, as you're well aware, Democrats pretty much run Washington, D.C.
That's why it's such a safe city.
Yes, indeed. 1971, the My Lai Massacre. Lieutenant William Calley is convicted of premeditated murder and sentenced to life in prison. Killed a group of Vietnamese civilians in My Lai. In 1973, the Vietnam War, the last U.S. combat soldiers left South Vietnam. 1973, the Operation Barrel Roll, a covert American bombing campaign in Laos to stop communist infiltration of South Vietnam. 1974, NASA's Mariner 10 became the first space probe to fly by Mercury. 1984, the Baltimore Colts loaded their possessions onto 15 Mayflower moving trucks in the early morning hours and transferred its operations to Indianapolis. They became the Indianapolis Colts. 1999, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed above the 10,000 mark for the first time, and that was during the height of the dot-com bubble. 2014, the first same-sex marriages in England and Wales were performed. In 2016, a U.S. Air Force F-16 crashed during takeoff from Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan. And in 1948, the Port Authority purchased McCluskey Shipyard on Hooker's Point from the federal government. That was part of Tampa's history, and that is our today in history for March 29th. Sorry, I had to cough there. Oh, and we got Rory O'Neill coming up next with the latest on the Nashville school shooting investigation. And I just want to hear about what the potential motive is, what drove this transsexual person to do that.
Yeah, you just got to wonder. And it's strange because she sent a message to a friend saying, you know, you're going to see me on the news, I'm going to die today. And then telling the friend, you know, like, I love you and stuff like that. And it's just, I don't know, that's just strange to me.
And from what I've seen, she had other places targeted as well.
Yeah.
On the manifest that they found.
Thank goodness for the cops.
Yeah, those cops were heroes that went in.
Watching that body cam footage, chilling.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's, I feel like... Have we gotten this much footage and pictures and all that of other school shootings? I mean, there's basically, it was all caught on video. And then I just saw on the New York Post, they've got pictures of inside her bedroom and where she kept the guns and all that. It's like all of a sudden, it's like with this one, we're getting all of this footage and all these pictures. And
I think it depends on if the police or the sheriff's office are willing to... you know, send that out and release it right away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all out there now.
Well, it seemed like there was plenty of warning in this case, but we'll talk to Rory O'Neill about it coming up.
Live on 94.5 FM in Pinellas County, this is AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris on News Radio WFLA.
And joining us right now is Rory O'Neill, our News Radio WFLA national correspondent. And Rory, we've been talking about the Nashville school shooting investigation. And do we have a complete motive that they've come up with yet?
Well, you know, they did recover some writings that the shooter was behind, but they haven't really talked in too much detail about what is included there. You know, why was this school targeted? We know that the shooter attended this school, but, you know, they were 28 years old at the time of yesterday's attack. So they hadn't been at the elementary school in over a decade. And so why that school was targeted. We did see some writing that perhaps the this school was chosen because security was not as strict at another school. But we don't know what that other school was either.
And we're seeing videos and pictures and all of that coming out, which I feel like we haven't necessarily seen with the other school shootings. So is that just if the police are deciding that they want to put that stuff out there? I just feel like we're getting a lot of information like that, but we don't have a motive yet.
Yeah, well, you can tell the police are proud of their response in this case. That tends to be the rule of thumb when police sort of drag their feet releasing body cam video. It's probably because the officer, you know, it could have been better. Whereas in this case, this was textbook response by the police officers. Pretty gripping video. Their training was on display. Their heroism was on display. Their professionalism. That video really is compelling. And I think it does a good job of telling a story about how they responded to a very chaotic situation.
And do we know anything about the family? The shooter's family?
The shooter? Yeah, well, we know that they have been in touch with the police. They said that the shooter had been undergoing some mental health counseling in recent months. They thought that they should not have had access to weapons, did not know that the shooter had purchased 7 firearms at local Nashville gun shops in recent months. So that was a surprise to them. There were 3 weapons recovered from the scene after Monday's shooting. But again, the parents did not realize that so many guns had been purchased.
Well, I know that our Sheriff Grady Judd from Polk County, he had served on the Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School Public Safety Commission. Mm-hmm. That was created in 2018 after the Parkland school shooting. And he had a lot of good advice about what we need to do to protect our students. As he said, it showcased the importance of school security in all the schools. And
well, and Sheriff Gualtieri was the head of that commission. So, yeah, both of them put together a pretty comprehensive list of recommendations. I think one of the big things that you'll notice was with those doors to the entrance. Yeah. They were locked, but they were mostly glass. And you saw on the video just how quickly the shooter was able to blast through the glass door and enter access. I mean, they went in so fast, they might as well have just pushed an unlocked door open.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that video, I was actually trying to go to bed. I got in bed, I scrolled my phone, and that was the first thing that popped up was that video of the shooter breaking the glass through the door. And I was like, how am I going to go to sleep now? Like, it just,
boy,
yeah,
I know.
It's just so scary. Do you have any thoughts on the idea of whether or not we should be putting the shooter's picture and repeating the shooter's name over and over and over again within the media? Like, we had an expert on yesterday who talked about how they want the notoriety.
Yeah. look, you have to use it in some cases. I think to use the name locally is much more important, since, you know, the people of Nashville may have known the shooter. I think you can use it judiciously. I don't think it has to be sprawled over everything all the time. But tragically, there are so many of these. I don't know about you, they all just sort of run together after a while.
Yeah, it really does.
True.
Yep.
Well, Rory O'Neill, our News Radio WFLA national correspondent, on Twitter at Radio Rory, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Dana. Thanks, Jack.
From Odessa to Clearwater, this is AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris, where Tampa Bay begins their morning.
And James, what was the name of our other listener there?
You know what? I already forgot. Hang on, I can play it again. Hang on.
Okay, let's hear it again.
Hello, morning show. This is Craig Wilson up in Michigan, your loyal listener, calling in again to say howdy. Still up here listening.
Oh, wow.
Craig Wilson.
Craig in Michigan. Listening on the iHeartRadio app. You can download it for free and then look for News Radio WFLA and listen live from, like, literally anywhere.
Yeah.
Also, if you have a smart device, you can tell it to play News Radio WFLA on iHeartRadio.
And we got a lot of listeners around the country. Yeah. I mean, I get emails from people in Baltimore and in Michigan. I know one up there. I mean...
Yeah, definitely.
It's pretty, hear from them all the time.
It's pretty cool.
Hey, we got some birthdays to celebrate today. Tommy Cavalier, Angel Cabrera, Louis G. Betts, Kim Fontas Malatesta. I like that name, Fontas Malatesta. That's hyphenated. Marlene Bergendale, who's a mountaineer from West Virginia originally. Johnny Bell, Jose Bello, and Wendy Robbins. So happy birthday to Tommy, Angel, Lewis, Kim, Marlene, Johnny, Jose, and Wendy.
And I don't have any people I know having a birthday today.
Same.
But for celebrities, Lucy Lawless is 55. Tennis champ Jennifer Capriati is 47. And supermodel Elle McPherson is 59.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, she still looks... Drop dead gorgeous. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And how about you, James?
For me, I've got nothing. And the reason I forgot the name earlier, because my mind is still on the toilet.
I was just going to ask you, is the toilet still flushing?
It still is.
90 minutes later, it's still like in constant flush mode.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I'm going to have to pay the water bill here.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. Like, those things, I think they're probably newer toilets and, like, meant to conserve water. But when it's just flushing constantly for that long.
Yeah.
Jeez. I hope that doesn't cause some other issue in the building.
I'm watching it because I don't want it to, like, you know, overflow or anything.
Yeah. That's so strange.
Well, we don't have time for the jokes, but I'll save the George Carl joke for tomorrow.
Alrighty.
About a blonde. Okay. And Ben sent a bunch
offended.
Of pig jokes.
Pig jokes?
Pig jokes.
I'm offended by those two.
Let's see. What's the result of playing tug of war with a pig?
You get muddy?
Pulled pork.
Oh.
That's cute.
What do you call a pig with no legs? A groundhog. And what's a pig's favorite karate move? The pork chop.
Those are cute.
Yeah. You just upset all the PETA people.
Thank you. And thank you, Ben Ritter, for those. And we'll get the George Carlin in there tomorrow. I'm just erasing these.
Crossing out the ones we've already used so we don't repeat them? All right. Yep.
On News Radio WFLA.
And it is 6:15 on AM Tampa Bay. And if you want to join us, give us a call at 800-969-9352. Well, a couple of things. Prosecutors are going to seek the death penalty. This is in Hillsborough County for the Tampa rapper Billy Adams, who's accused in the shooting and killing of a pregnant woman back in January.
Oh, I remember when that happened. Yes. Yeah.
And he was arrested for the shooting death of 22-year-old Alana Sims. And investigators say Sims was killed 3 days after Adams was acquitted on double murder charges. You wonder why this guy was out anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the details of that case, but...
Well, they say... Should Adams be found guilty of murdering Sims and, of course, her unborn child, they will seek capital punishment. And in the notice, the state listed multiple aggravated factors that the state intends to prove to permit the death penalty. The capital felony was a homicide committed in a cold, calculated, premeditated murder, according to them. And the unborn child was a person less than 12 years of age, obviously. But Tampa rapper Billy Adams, who is known as Ace NH, I'm not familiar with that. Of course, I don't listen to much rap. But he was arrested by Tampa police on February 8th after police say he admitted to pulling the trigger the day she was found dead outside her car and her one-year-old son was found a few feet away from her. And fortunately, he was unharmed. But during a news conference, Hillsborough County Major Mike Stout said the motive in the shooting stemmed from Adams not wanting to be in Sim's life anymore. So rather than just go away or do what else you could do, he killed her. And anyway, yep. They say the goal was to protect Adams' right to a fair trial. They limited the likelihood of a future jury being tainted by the continued media coverage and on and on. But anyway, they're going to seek the death penalty.
He deserves it.
Oh, more so than you can imagine.
Yeah, he does.
Shooting squad.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, they just put these people to sleep so quietly. And, I mean, it's almost pleasant.
Right.
The way they just go to sleep. I don't understand that when these people cause such great pain. And fortunately, we had the story the other day. Well, some states are still using the electric chair, and now they're bringing back
the firing squad.
Yeah, firing squads.
Yeah, it's now legal in, what, 5 states, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'd like to see them go back to hanging.
Ugh.
Well, that's, of course, on the other hand, life in prison, you know, if you get hanged or shot or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you're done. You're out of your misery.
Whereas if you were given life in prison.
Yeah, I think that's the worst form of torture, just being stuck in a cell. But don't give them cell phones. Don't let them watch TV. Don't let them do anything fun.
That's right. True.
So
no TV, no phones, lousy food, everything.
Right. Well, I do think that the thing about watching TV is like you give them something to do so that they can focus on TV instead of having a bunch of bored, crazy, angry people. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like maybe there's something psychological to it to let them have some of that stuff to keep them cool.
Well, only give them lousy channels.
Then. Right. Yeah. Does that make sense, though, that, like, you got to get, I mean, these people, they just sit in a cell all day long. They're going to start to get wild. Like, you got to feed them and, you know, let them out to eat or whatever. So I feel like maybe giving them TV, access to a phone, whatever, you got to kind of do some of that stuff.
Oh, you can, if they go wild, just keep them in the thing there.
Right. Yeah, I guess.
Spray them with something.
Yeah.
Baby shark on repeat. That's what you do.
Yeah, there you go.
Baby shark.
That's torture.
Baby shark.
Well. Well, anyway, you got Aaron Real coming up here in just a minute. We're going to talk about Americans are pulling back from values that used to be a big, big deal.
On News Radio WFLA.
And at 6:24, we're joined by Aaron Real, our News Radio WFLA national correspondent. And Aaron, I was reading the story about Americans are changing values and they're pulling back from things like patriotism and religion and families and things like that. These were things that used to be the most important. And why are we seeing such major changes?
Yes, this one is really interesting. So the Wall Street Journal, in conjunction with the University of Chicago, a nonpartisan research organization within it, they did this study. They found that the nation's character from what it was generations ago is really receding. So just quickly by the numbers, 38% of respondents said that patriotism was very important to them. 39% said that religion was. That's down sharply from when they first asked the question in 1998, when 70% said patriotism was important to them and 62% said so of religion. also, if you look at the younger generations, only 23% of adults under 30 said that having children was important to them. And then also, they said that this one really kind of scares me. Tolerance, that was deemed important to 80% of Americans as recently as 4 years ago. It's down to 58%. And I think that that one is so telling, because tolerance is kind of, you know, none of us are from here. The whole idea is that we're a melting pot, and you have to tolerate some differences. And the fact that we don't do that anymore. So your initial question was, why did this happen? And a lot of these studies, analysts, they say that it was a combination of things why we have this fractured nation. You have the power of the tax, then you have the financial crisis of 2008, so there's a subsequent huge economic downturn. And then the rise of former President Donald Trump. Whatever you feel about him, if you love him or you hate him, the one thing that is undeniable is that he was very divisive. And also, we as a nation had never seen a president with three wives before. You know, he just was not he didn't really hold the values of the traditional American president. And I think that this kind of added to that. And then you throw in the recent COVID pandemic and gender-neutral pronouns and Black Lives Matter. It all has created a lot of tension in the country.
What do Americans value? Like, we're talking about all the things that they don't value anymore, patriotism, religion, family. But what came up with a high percentage of people placing a value on it?
So the only priority that's grown in importance is money. This is in the past quarter. I know, it's kind of, this is not a good look. 43% said it's important in this new survey, and only 31% said so in 1998. Also, the idea of American exceptionalism, only 21% of the survey said that America stands above all other countries in the world. That is down precipitously. And half said that America was one of the greatest countries. And I think with access to the internet and you see how other countries live and the quality of life, so many young people particularly watch their parents struggle in 2008. They don't feel they're burdened with student loan. They can't afford a house. It's hard to find a job that can pay you enough to, you know, pay your rent and your car bills. So then you can look at the Nordic countries and just quality of life is better, or even some of the Southern European countries. You know, Spain is getting a ton of influx of residents, of young people, or Portugal, and just higher quality of life and the idea for upward mobility, where that's fading here and growing in other first world countries. I think that, you know, the jig is up. You have to look at how you operate as a country as a whole to see if you can pull back any of the enthusiasm about America.
Well, Aaron Real, our News Radio WFLA national correspondent, we got to get you a new phone.
That's not Aaron's phone. That's our phone. Yeah.
Oh, really? Is
that our phone?
Yeah, it's ours. The system that we use, it's not a regular phone anymore. Isn't it through the internet or something,
it is,
James?
It's through the cloud.
Yeah. So
it's very glitchy today.
Yeah, it was glitchy with Rory, too, Aaron, and it's not you, it's us.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right.
No.
Well, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Aaron Real, our News Radio WFLA national correspondent.
News is brought to you by Safe Touch Security. Let's hear about the dopiest dope of all the dopes of the day on AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris.
And at 6:38, Dana has our dope or dopest of the day.
Well, besides James, who broke the toilet in the bathroom, that is still running an hour and a half later.
2 hours.
It's been 2 hours.
Oh, man.
Anyway, this dope of the day, well, it's actually pretty funny. A Minnesota driver was pulled over by police, and he tried to get out of trouble by handing the officer his get-out-of-jail-free card. And
how do you get one of those?
Well, you got the game Monopoly. Yeah. I mean, you got to figure the guy must be in trouble a lot if he's been carrying this thing around in his car, just waiting to use it. But the sheriff's department shared the bizarre encounter on their Facebook page. They said the driver was pulled over and they asked him to take out his license. He did. And he also handed the officer the Monopoly card, thinking the deputy might actually honor it. Obviously, it didn't work, and the deputy informed him that the card is not valid and that he will not pass go or collect $200 either. The department's post on Facebook said, unfortunately, the state of Minnesota does not recognize this as a valid document, but points for the effort and humor. They didn't mention what the driver was pulled over for or whether or not he is actually going to jail or if he just got a ticket, but pretty funny incident.
Well, we got Daniel James Scott coming up, and I don't have time to get this dope of the day, but John Kerry, the climate czar for Biden. Geez. And he's one of those guys that think, oh, we're changing the climate.
Yeah, well, he flies around in his private jet.
Yeah, in his private jet.
Yeah.
Huge private jet. And yet, you better get rid of that gas stove.
Yeah, you better ride your bike to work.
We'll get around to that. I mean, he's still going to be a dope for a while, so.
Yeah, there's no expiration on that
one. We can use him later. 6:40 and Daniel James Scott coming up in a minute here.
It's the techno babble you just don't have time to understand. It's time for Technically Speaking with Daniel James Scott on AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris.
And Daniel James Scott is here. And Daniel, I understand here you're saying that wokeness and cancel culture start with the teens on the internet. What's the deal there?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. There's a social psychologist at NYU Stern named Jonathan Haidt that has been researching what the roots of cancel culture really were. And it, of course, it goes back to the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Everything does today.
It is a little bit of a unique story, but just to give some context here, essentially what he had devised first is, what were the beliefs that young folks started to buy into, the myths that they started to buy into? And these are just really super interesting. He said there's three great untruths. The first one is that people could actually get harmed by words and books and ideas. The second is that they began to believe that their emotions, especially anxieties, were reliable guides to reality. And then the third is that society was really composed of good people and bad people, victims and oppressors. Hmm. And what happened was these ideas, which are really the basis for external locus of control, where you were talking earlier about, you know, what are these great American ideals? What are the things that we used to believe in? Well, it used to be like hard work and internal locus of control. I can control my own destiny. I'm responsible for the things that happen to me. And why that started to shift was the internet and people sharing things in the internet and buying into these beliefs, especially young, progressive females, which I'm going to come back to in a second because they use the internet most. And then this idea of universities then reinforcing this. So as they were going to schools, the universities would play along with these myths and actually support these. But let me just really quick, because this is super interesting, because I just said something that could be inflammatory, right? As I named a group of people.
Well, you got a pretty young woman in here listening to you now.
Well, it's really interesting, and I'm not saying that Dana falls in this.
No,
category.
I'm old.
No, you're not.
I keep thinking like 2013. That was yesterday, but it really wasn't. It was quite a while ago.
10 years ago. Yeah.
We're really talking about some time having passed, but Tumblr was where they said this really came down to, and the idea was what was happening on Tumblr was, people were describing their quote unquote unique non-formative self, which people then began referring to as their snowflake. And this was a positive thing back then. I was not aware of this. I don't know if you were, but the idea is they're referring to the idea that each snowflake is unique and individual. And so that this became a positive thing, is sharing something positive about yourself that's unique. On the other side of the political spectrum, though, there was, you know, 4chan. And there were young male right skewing individuals who had very strong internal locuses of control that were making fun of this. Right. So you set up this idea of separation on the internet, and then this whole weird cosmos escaped out into the Twitterverse, and then it became, you know, what it is today,
like,
which is
major mainstream. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it comes back to everything that we're talking about today, what Aaron was talking about earlier. By the way, I could hear most of that, which was awesome, which she was talking about earlier. But I think also a lot of the discourse in this country, which is all of these external things can impact me and I have no control over it. I'm just on the victim end of this. And I don't see this getting better with TikTok or any of the other social media.
Right. Well, I think it also becomes more like exaggerated, and it gets worse because you're on the internet where you're not having a face-to-face conversation with somebody about these issues. You're typing, hiding behind a screen, and then that allows people to be even more nasty to each other, and then that just helps to create more division.
Yeah, and I will personally admit, even though I'm looking at this and I'm seeing the research and I'm seeing that two types of people on different ends of the spectrum were most impacted by this, I started really considering, you know, how often do I look at social media to go, I posted on Twitter this morning that I'm here. Like, did I get a like, right? I am impacted by this. Yeah. We're all impacted by it. It's really kind of weird. And I know, Dana, you and I have talked about, you know, posting things even for the show to help get the word out. And we're looking at it right. Just professionally, which is so interesting and so weird, but it really is changing the nature of who we are, which is kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The internet controls everything today.
Yes.
Maybe pretty soon we'll shut down Washington and put it all on the internet.
Right. Well, and you also have to wonder, and there, this is a whole other conversation, but about these social media companies and these tech giants and the way that they manipulate the information that we're seeing to reinforce our biases and how we feel. Like, the algorithms are set up to do that, and that just creates more division, too.
Putting a thumb on the scale is terrifying, and it's not necessarily something I want to expose my kids to too young. So the more I think about this, the more I process it, the more I believe maybe my kids shouldn't have access to this.
Right. My daughter's going to be 19 tomorrow, actually, and she's been on social media since she was probably 12 or 13. And I feel like that was a big mistake. And we weren't monitoring it the way we should have been, because I feel like at 6-7 years ago, we didn't know everything we know now. And I would have been a lot firmer about, no, you're not going to be on this. And now their brains at that young age, this is what they know.
Oh, yeah.
Life
value is out on the internet, and the God's honest truth is it is not. We shouldn't believe that at all. We're Americans. We can do incredible things.
Right.
How true. Well, Daniel James Scott is at Spark Catalyst on Twitter, Spark Catalyst, or you can check him out at sparkcatalyst.com.
I love to hear from you. And Jack, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you, sir, for sure. Thank you for coming in here explaining all that stuff.
Oh, man.
For sure.
Live from the WFLA studios, this is AM Tampa Bay with Jack Harris on News Radio WFLA.
It's 6:55 on AM Tampa Bay. By the way, the Sun and Fun Festival in Lakeland is underway.
Oh, fun.
That is a great event. I think it started yesterday, and it runs through Sunday. But if you've never been to it, it's incredible, and I'm sure it's gotten a heck of a lot better since I went to it a couple of years way back. But well, this is their 49th year.
Oh, wow.
And they put in all kinds of new infrastructure, and you can work your phones and everything there now. That was something you couldn't do in the past, but it's pretty inexpensive now. Online parking is $10. You pay at the door, it's $20. They've got great entertainment. But the air shows are what you want to see.
Oh, okay, cool.
And you can check out the planes that are on the ground there. I saw a picture, and it had the Blue Angels in the picture. I don't know if they're there or not.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm not sure.
That would be cool.
I got to fly with them once. That was an incredible experience.
Oh, wow.
And they were doing flips and rolls and all of that stuff like that. But fortunately, I'd gone through a little of that in Vietnam, so I was ready for it. But that was a great experience. But that was from the air show at MacDill Air Force Base. But apparently, I'm guessing maybe the Blue Angels, who are stationed up in the Panhandle, are there this year.
I'm looking it up to see now. Yeah, it's the Sun and Fun Aerospace Expo. There's parachute stuff happening, all kinds of food and live music and paraglider flying. Oh, my gosh, yeah, this looks like a lot of fun.
Yep, at the Lakeland Airport, so check it out. And meanwhile, we'll do it again tomorrow on AM Tampa Bay.
Live it up.